Today's shir is Masechta Yevamos Daf Chaf Aleph. We will begin on Daf Chaf Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Itmar, Bi is Kohen Gadol Ba'almana. So the case the Gemara is describing is a situation where the brother of a Kohen Gadol passed away without any children. So his wife is a Almana, obviously. And the Kohen Gadol, the brother of the brother who passed away, is the Yavam. But we know that a Kohen Gadol may not marry an Almana. So the question is, how does the halacha view if the brother, the brother who is the Kohen Gadol, did Yibam? How does the halacha view that act? Says the Gemara, it's a machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. Charama ain't a pateras, tsarasa, that act is not considered an act of Yibam. And since that act is not considered an act of Yibam, so the tsara, the other wife of the other wife of the brother is still obligated to have chalitza. V'charama pateres sarasa, that it accomplishes that much that the tzara will not have to have a chalitza. Says the Gemara, ba'almana min ha'nesuin, where this brother was married to this almana with a nesuin, with a full-fledged marriage, kulam lo pligi d'lo patra, the yibum that the Kohen Gadol did with this wife, with this almana, is not considered a valid act of Yibam. The Kohen Gadol, by doing Yibam in this woman, violated the essay and lois essay involved in a Kohen Gadol marrying an almana. And even if we're going to learn, as we have been learning, and therefore his act is not considered meaningful in the eyes of halacha. Ki pligi, the question is, when the brother who died only had erison in this almana. Ki pligi, ba'almana min erison, that they only had erison. Mandam pateres, the mandam that holds that it has validity, and therefore it will make that the tzara doesn't have to have chalitza. The essay of Yibam is doicha the lois essay of a Kohen Gadol marrying an almana. However, umandam ein a pateres, loy asi essay, the essay of Yibam is doicha the lois essay, it's not doicha the lois essay, because the Gemara introduces a new concept, and that is kiven the efshalab chalitza. That even though there is a important point that we keep on learning, essa doicha lois essay, but essa doicha lois essay is only something that the halacha recognizes reluctantly. And therefore, if there would have been an option to avoid it, we certainly want to avoid it. And here it's avoidable. The reason it's avoidable, because you could do chalitza, which doesn't involve the Kohen Gadol having relations with a woman who was an almana. Meisvei asked the Gemara, but we learned in a brisa in our previous shiur that if somebody who is not allowed to marry in Klai Yisrael, Ptsudaka, Kros Shivcha, there's a lav to marry such an individual. Yet, if such an individual did bia in the Yavama, even though it involves the lav, the Brisa said in Balu, it's still effective. But if we're saying that Ese Doicha Loisesei is only effective in a situation where there are no other options, but there it is the option of chalitza. So since there's an option in those cases of chalitza, why would the yibum be valid? When there are options, we're saying we don't say eser deichalos to say. So says the Gemara, indeed, to yufta, and the halacha indeed will be that the bia of the Kohen Gadol and the almana, which of course should not have happened, but if it does happen, pateres sarasa, because as we learned in the previous year, even when one did Yibam, and the Yibam that he did involved being over a lav, it's still considered effectively Yibam. Says the Gemara, Leimetav nam tiyufta d'resh lakish, should this also be a raya against the concept that base the resh lakish set forth, that we only say Eser Doicha Loisa say when we have no options? Amala Reish Lakish, says Reish Lakish, Ki amina no, when do I say that we don't say Eser Doicha Loisa say, Hecha the Mekayim Mitzah, where the Mitzah could be fulfilled anyway. So if the mitzvah could be fulfilled anyway, we're not going to employ the concept of Eser Deichaloisesei. Aval Hocha, in our case, why are we saying that we should not allow the Yibum? The reason we're saying that we should not allow the Yibum, because there's an option with Chalitza. And since there's an option of Chalitza, let's not do Yibum. Says the Gemara, that's not considered an option. Because Chalitza b'makom Yibum, doing Chalitza when you could have done Yibum, the Torah prefers Yibum. And since the Torah prefers Yibum, having done Chalitza, doing Chalitza instead, is not considered really having an option. And therefore, we're going to have to rely on Eser Deichaloisesei and allow the Yibum. Says the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah that Chazal added different women that may be married midoraisa, but they're considered shnius, that one may not marry such women. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, remez shnius min haTorah minayin. Where do we see that there's a concept of shnius in the Torah? Says the Gemara Shanema, because the pasuk says, "Ki es kol ha'tayves ha'el also anshe eretz." Ale is talking about kashus, that there are averis that are very serious that were transgressed. Mechlal, but when we indicate that they violated very serious averis, mechlal, it's clearly indicative. Dika rakos, there are averis, which are averis, but they're not as significant. Maininu, what type of averis are being described? Shnius. What we're discussing in our shurim, the shnius, the individuals who are ever midrabbanan. Says the Maramai, and as the In Yaakov points out, that even though normally there is no, the Rabbanon doesn't need to have a Makar, doesn't have to have a source in the Torah. Here, we have to have a source in the Torah to teach us that Shniyos, that individuals who are these Rabbanon Ervis, are Asur. And there's two explanations. One is, whenever you're saying that one is not allowed to marry a specific woman who's a relative, the concern is that there's a mitzvah pruravu, that we're supposed to get married, and limiting who we may marry is a contradiction to that mitzvah. And therefore, if we're going to institute shniyos, we have to have a remez. Another pshat that I saw that the In Yaakov suggests, it is specifically a mitzvah for one to marry his relatives. And here, not when saying that you shouldn't marry a relative. And that's why we have to have a remez. We have to see some source, midaraisa, that is the proper approach. So again, says the Gemara, or my mashma. So the Gemara says there are some averis that are more serious and there are some that are less serious. Ask the Gemara, my mashma ha'el, and we said ale means serious. Where do we learn that ale means serious? My mashma ha'el, lishna de kasha, the ksiv, the pasuk says in Yecheskel, ves ale aretz lokach, the strong individuals were taken. So we see that ale means strong. Lema, so says the Gemara, that Rava, who says ale represents something very serious, is Pligi de Reb Levi, disagrees with what Reb Levi taught us. Dom Reb Levi, kosha anshin shalmidos, somebody violating and being dishonest in business, is yosim anshin shalrayas, is even more significant than somebody doing an aver that involves immorality. Shazen nemeba ale, by arayas, the Torah uses the word ale, the zeh, when it comes to being dishonest in measures and weights, nemaman eile, as the pasuk says, ki asayav es Hashem alakecha, kol eisa eile, kol eisa avel. An eil kasha, eil represents something be strong, and eile, when the Torah says eile, is even more stronger. The Rishonim ask that here we're learning that the concept of Arayas and the concept of Shnius L'Arayas is taught from the word ale. But they ask, yesterday we discussed, the Pasuk says, Kadoshim Tiyu, Kadosh Atzmecha B'Mutaloch. So why isn't that used as the source to teach us that there are people who maybe Midaraisa are Mutar, but Chazal say, Kadosh Atzmecha the mutalach, that you should still not marry them, even though they're technically mutar. So the answer, kaddish atz b'mutalach, indicates that they're really mutar. The Torah is telling us, do the right thing and be machmer. When we speak about shnius, shnius aren't to be viewed as someone who is mutar and somebody could choose to be machmer. Rather, once, as we're going to be learning, shnius were established, shnius are usur, and you can't use the word mutalach on shnius. But ask the Gemara, now it was saying that whenever the pasuk uses the word eila, it indicates a very serious avera. Ask the Gemara, gabarayis namiks of eila. By rayis, the Torah also uses the word eila. So if that's the proof, then the pasuk says mikola to'evus eila. Answers the Gemara, hahu, that pasuk of eila is coming to teach us lemute midos mikores. What the pasuk is saying is that even though we're taking midos and we're saying that midos is a more serious avera than arayis, there is still a difference. By arayis, in many situations, as we've been discussing in our Masechta, the violation of such a relationship, having such a relationship, carries with it a chiyuv karis, which is not the case by midos. Elamai chamrayu. So if we're saying that a violation of erva carries with it a chiyuv karis, a violation of erva does not, the midos does not. So how is it evident? Says the Gemara, hani efshe b'tshuva. By arayis, one could do tshuva. Hani lo yefshe b'tshuva. By midos, it's not able to do tshuva. So the Mershonim debate, what does it mean that by arayis, one could do tshuva? So Rashi and Ritva are of the opinion that until a mamzer was not born from an illicit relationship, so the actual averis, the actual avera that was done, one could do tshuva on. Tosfos HaRosh disagrees. Tosfos HaRosh says that even if somebody had, even if as a result of this relationship, there is a mamzer born, that doesn't mean you can't do tshuva. The mamzer is born, but they're still able to do tshuva on the averis. The Rashbam has a third approach. The Rashbam approach is that if no mamzer was born, one could do tshuva. And like any tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts our tshuva. If a mamzer was born, then no tshuva, the tshuva that has to be done is a constant tshuva, because the mamzer is here all the time. And just like the mamzer is here forever, the tshuva has to remain forever. And as the Rishonim go on to explain, when somebody does avera ben adam lamakom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite chesed and rachmim, accepts our tshuva. Whereas when somebody does an avera ben adam l'chaveroi, when you steal from somebody else, that's something that tshuva can't be done, because you can't, the tshuva is not accepted until the person who you harmed is appeased. And even though the Meiri and the Rambam discuss that the Gemara says that if somebody steals, and he doesn't know from whom he stole, Yasa Tzorchei Rabim, should do something positive for the community, that's not considered a proper tshuva. By doing something for the community, you really haven't taken care about the person that you did something against. And moreover, the Rabbi Chana makes a very interesting observation. He says, by an avera, ben adam lamakayim, so as we often learn in Shas, there are different categories of avera. There's oinus, and there's shogig, and there's mezid. When it comes to an avera that's ben adam l'chaveroi, it doesn't make a difference if you were a shogig, or you were oinus, or you were a mezid. As we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, and Masechta Baba Kama, adam mu'ud l'olam. A person is always responsible if he hurt or damaged someone else. Rav Yehuda says that the source from Shnius is from Hocha. The pasuk says in Koheles that Shloima Izein v'chiker tike mishalom harbei. V'amu ula amar Rav Elazar, kodim shabar Shloima, before Shloima came and made Shnius l'rayis, hoysa tayru damel k'fifa, shalom is naim. The Torah was like a basket that doesn't have any handle to it. Atshuba Shlomo, until Shlomo Melech came, Vasla Oznaim, and made handles to the basket. He made the Torah, accessible. And Meshech Chacha quotes, he says that the Pasuk says that Dovra Melech says to Shlomo his son, Anoicha Heilch V'derek Kol Oretz, V'chazakta V'yisul Ish, V'shamatas Mishmeres Hashem L'kecha, L'lechas Drachav L'shma Chukaisav Mitzvosav U'mishpotav. It's a Pasuk in Melachim Aleph, Perek Beis. So says the Meshech Chachma, which Dovra Melech was telling Shlomo Melech, what David HaMelech was telling Shlomo HaMelech was, I want you to fulfill the obligation of a su mishmeres l'mishmarti. And that's why, as Rashi explains, by him making the rules of Shnius, people, as we're going to be learning in our Shia today, will avoid doing the Avera of Arayas. So Tysus asks a question. Tysus, the Ramask of Yehuda, asks, that the Gemara, that here it says, the Gemara says that B'shar Shetikin Shloima Erev V'Natil Shidayim, that when Shloima Melech instituted Erev V'Natil Shidayim, Yotzu the Baskel V'Amra, a Baskel came out and said, B'ni, my son, referring to Shloima Melech, Im Chacham Lipcha Yismach Libi Gam Oni, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressed his satisfaction at Shloima Melech instituting Erev V'Natil Shidayim. Why, asked Tysus, this rule of Shnius also wasn't included in that pasuk. Says, so some explain that first Shlomo HaMelech instituted Erevin and Tehillas Yadayim. And that's why it doesn't say this point at that point, because it wasn't yet relevant. Others say just the opposite, that the first rule that Shlomo HaMelech instituted was actually Shnius. But if somebody does something to show how great he is, the first time he does it is really not indicative that he's a great individual. Only when a pattern is formed, that's when we can know. So even though the first thing that Shlomo HaMelech instituted was Shnius, that did not yet prove the greatness of Shlomo HaMelech. Another pshat that I saw was that the Shnius were not really instituted by Shlomo HaMelech. They were instituted by Chazal. From whom did Chazal learn that that is the way to go? They learned it from Shlomo HaMelech, but it wasn't actually Shlomo HaMelech's takana, and that's why the pasuk that was announced about Shlomo HaMelech wasn't said here. Another pshat that I saw, that Reb Zalman, the brother of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the Talmud of the Gra, said, what's pshat in this Gemara? He says, the pasuk says, V'zanto l'mitzvoysov, said the Rav Zalman to the Gra, that's pshat, shnius. We have to do v'zanto. We have to v'zanto l'mitzvoysov. We have to do things that his mitzvah should be listened to, instituting shnius. I saw that the Ben Yoyada explains what's pshat v'zanto l'mitzvoysov. So he says, there's a difference between Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebapeh, at least in the time of Chazal. Torah Shebiksav was learned from inside the text. Torah Shebapeh was only learned by Baalpeh, orally. So when Shlomo HaMelech instituted the Shnius, there he did something which increased Torah Shebapeh. When we speak about Torah Shebapeh, that's when we use the word Vazanta, listening. It involves the ears, not the eyes. The Chasam Sofer says, why was there simcha by Ervin and Netilas Yadayim and not by Erva? Says the Chasam Sofer that as Shlomo HaMelech expanded the list of people one may not have relations with, so there's more averus one could transgress. However, when Shlomo HaMelech made Ervin, what he did was he did something positive, that will help people avoid the Avera of carrying on Shabbos. When he instituted Netilas Yadayim, it was to avoid more Tumah in Klal Yisrael. He says, the Chasam Sofer, when something is instituted with a positive, that's when the Pasuk says Yismach. When something only is a negative, the pasuk doesn't announce Yismach libi gam oni. Ravashi Amar, Ravashi gives a different source for shnius. The pasuk says, Pareu, make the Isser larger, shall tavaba, that to avoid somebody should not transgress the Avera, stay me'alav avar, do things to avoid doing an Avera. Amar Ravashi, Moshel, Ravashi, how do we understand what Ravashi means? L'ma adava daima, l'adam shemeshama paradis, somebody's watching his field, u'meshama b'chutz, and he stands outside the field. So by standing outside, kulam mishtamer, the entire field is watched. However, if he's sitting inside, mishtamer b'fnim, shemilfana mishtamer, anywhere from where he's sitting and further is protected. However, l'achva ena mishtamer, he wanted to make a larger protection. But says the Gemara, actually, v'ha'd Reb Ashi, this what Reb Ashi just said, b'dusahi, is actually incorrect. Hasam l'fonam miyam mishtamer. Hacha, in that place where you're not standing in a wonderful place, in a great place, at least where you're standing is protected. Hacha, in our Gemara, ilav, if we're not going to have the shnis l'rayis, paga b'erev agufa, you'll come to do a very serious aveira. Rav Kahana amar, mihacha, what is the source to do, to be careful about shnius l'rayis? The pasuk says, "Ushmartim es mishmarti." Says the pasuk, "Yasu mishmaris l'mishmarti." We have to make protection for what, for any avera. Amalei Baile Rabbi Yosef, ha deraisihi. But that's not a remez. That's a pasuk with the raisa. Answers the Gemara, indeed, the raisa. It is a deraisa. But Pirshu Rabbanon, the Rabbanon are the ones that teach us where it is and where it isn't, Asur, says the Gemara. But then Shnius are not unique. Kol HaTorah Nami Pirshu Rabbanon. Everything, every mitzvah in the Torah, every aver in the Torah, we rely on the explanation of the Rabbanon. Rather, says the Gemara, with Rabbanon, the Isser of Shnius is the Rabbanon, and the pasuk that we just quoted is a smachta ba'alma. Tan Rabbanon, says the Gemara, we've just been speaking about Shnius, so the Gemara wants to identify who are the Shnius. Mahin Shnius. Who are the Shnius? Says the Gemara, Aim Imai, the mother of his mother, Aim Aviv, his grandmother from his father's side, Ashes Avi Aviv, his grandfather's wife from his father's side, Vashis Avi Imai, his grandfather from his mother's side's wife, Vashis Achio Av, the woman who was married to his uncle from his father's side, to his paternal uncle, Eishes Achia Aim Minav, the woman who was married to his father's maternal brother, Kalas Benoi, the daughter-in-law of his son, the Kalas Pitoi, and the daughter-in-law of his daughter. Umutar Adam, one is Apidin, allowed to marry Eishes Chamoiv, the wife of his father-in-law. However, Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi that one should not marry the wife of his father-in-law because of Maris Ayin. That even though Tosfos says in our sugya, we just learned explicitly, one is allowed to marry the wife of his father-in-law, but the Yerushalmi says that after the Braisa was finished in our Gemara, they included the wife of a father-in-law that is Osir. And says Rabbi Kivega, what's the nafgamina if the woman is included in our Gemara or was just included later? Says Rabbi Kivega, the halacha is that by Shnia. So let's analyze this, says Rabbi Kivega. Midaraisa, if one does kedushin with a shnia, it's a valid kedushin. It's only not midrabanan valid. So now, what will be if somebody did kedushin with a shnia, and then that woman accepted kedushin from someone else? Says Rabbi Kivega, she needs a get midrabanan from the second man. Just like, and because there's a question how to look at the first kedushin. But when we speak about the wife of a father-in-law, that's only also because of Maris Ayin, There, says Rukvega very bechidish, that she wouldn't even need a get from the second husband. Why? Because it's considered an eishes ish. The Tzemach Tzedek, quoted by the Chasam Sofer, says that if the it says a different chiddush, that if someone marries a father-in-law's wife, which even though we're now learning Tosfos to Yerushalmi, that one should not marry such a woman, if he marries her incorrectly, he may remain with her. Whereas if somebody marries one of the shnias, of course, they must get divorced. Eishes chargoy, somebody that was married to the son of his wife, and then she becomes an almana. The halacha is that the almana of the stepson is mutter. Vaser, but somebody is not allowed to marry bas chargoy. He's not allowed to marry the daughter of his stepson. The chargoy, mutter imishtoy, the son of his wife is allowed to marry. The son of his wife is allowed to marry his wife if he divorced her. Bitoy, the daughter of the steps of the, and he's also allowed to marry. Chargoy mutter ishtoy, and the chargoy is mutter to marry that wife. Ubitoy, the daughter, the stepson is allowed to marry the daughter of him. That means a man and a woman that the mother and father are married to each other, allowed to marry each other. Says the Gemara, what are we learning here from Eishes Chargoy? Eishes Chargoy, Ameris Loi, the wife of a stepson could tell him, Ani Muteris Loch, I may marry you, and Biti Asura Aloch, but my daughter may not marry you. That means you're allowed to marry the wife of your stepson, after the stepson marriage is terminated, but you're not allowed to marry the daughter of your stepson. Says the Gemara, Bas Chargoy, but marrying the daughter of your stepson, the Raisihi, the Ksiv, because the daughter of your stepson is the granddaughter of your wife. And the Torah HaKadoshah says, Ervis Isho Bita Loi Segala, Es Bas Benov Es Bas Bita Loi Silkach. So it's an Issa Daraisa. Why are we including them in the list of the Shnias? Answers the Gemara. Mishum de Kabbalah Misne Sefer. Because, as we just learned, Eishes Chargoy, the daughter-in-law of your wife's daughter-in-law, your stepson's wife, Ameris Loch, could tell you, Ani Mataris Loch, I may marry you, Biti Mesur Loch. Vavagav, and what the Bryce is trying to emphasize, that here we have a situation that the daughter of this woman not only may not marry this man, but it involves an Issa Daraisa. So we would think that since the daughter, marrying this woman's daughter involves an Issa Daraisa, there should be an Issa Darabonin at least to marry her. That's why the Bryce is teaching us, but the D, like Gozubar Rabbanan, the Rabbanan didn't make me usher to you. And that's why Tani Reisha, that's why we learned Bas Chargoy, that it's usher, even though the Bryce is speaking about the Rises, and this is a Darabonin. Ask the Gemara, Ihochi, if that's the case, that in a situation where the daughter is not allowed to marry and the mother is allowed to marry, we could have another case. Eishes Chomov, the wife of his father-in-law, Neimah Tema, could say the same thing. Ani Mataris Loch, I am mutter, because as we just discussed a moment ago, Midaraisa and from the Shnias perspective, you're allowed to marry a woman who was married to your father-in-law. Obiti, and my daughter, Asur Loch, is not allowed to marry. The daughter of my father-in-law is not allowed to marry you. And let's illustrate. Avram married Sarah, and they had a daughter, Rachel. And then he went and married Rivka. And Rivka had a daughter, Leah. Now Rachel married Reuven. So Rivka, the wife of Avram, the father-in-law of Reuven, says to Reuven, I, who am your father-in-law's wife, may marry you. I'm not your mother-in-law. And my daughter, who is your wife's sister, may not marry you. To have achos ishtoy. And as we've learned many times in a masechta, achos ishtoy is a very serious avera. Ha, So why, if we're looking for these kind of comments, why isn't this included? Answers the Gemara, ha, the granddaughter of a wife is psikale, is also forever. That means the granddaughter of your wife, there's never a heter to marry the granddaughter of your wife, even after your wife passed away. Whereas when we speak about the Isra of Achais Ishtoi, which we've discussed many times in our Shiurim, the halach is an Achais Ishtoi is only usur as long as your wife is alive. And I have to emphasize, that means even if you're not married, as long as that woman to whom you were married is alive, you may not marry your sister. But once that woman who you were married to is no longer alive, you may marry your sister. And that's why the situations are not similar. Here, it's psikale, it's forever. Here, achois ishtoi is not forever. Amarav, abo anoshim yesh lem hefsek. Amongst the women who we identify to be shnius, four of them don't continue forever. Nokid Rabbi Yadi Talas. And Rav was able to identify three of them. Eishes Achio Eim Menaav. That if someone married, that Eishes Achio Eim Menaav is a woman that you, a woman who's married to your uncle, who is your mother's brother, Menaav, she's Osir. But the wife of your mother's uncle is mutter. Eishes Achio Av. That means a woman who's married to your father's brother, Minaim, your father's maternal brother, the Kaloisai, these women are Osir. That means the daughter-in-law of your daughter is Osir. But the daughter-in-law of your granddaughter is not Osir. Ziri Maisif, Ziri adds one more person, Eishes Avi Imai. Somebody who's a woman who's married to your grandfather from your mother's side, she's Osir. A woman who is married to your maternal grandfather is Osir. But your maternal, a woman who is married to your maternal great-grandfather is not Osir. Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Simonech, if you want to remember which one did Ziri add? The law of the Rav. That is a woman who's in a generation above the generations the Rav was speaking about. Ask the Gemara, so why the Rav only identified three of those women? Ask the Gemara, why didn't Rav also add this woman? Rav, my Tamalai Chashulai, why doesn't Rav include this case as a case where the Shnius is limited? Answers the Gemara, Mechlefa be'eshes avi aviv. Because he says, if we're going to say that the great-grandfather's wife is mutter, one is going to get confused and think that the wife of your father's father's usur. And that is not true. That is not mutter. Baziri, hasam shchich v'azul. People go to their father's family. So people go to their father's family. That's why people recognize that that's usur. They don't confuse when going with the mother's family. People would spend more time with their father's family than with their mother's family, and therefore the difference between the two is very obvious, and we don't say that Eishes Avi Aviv will be confused with Eishes Avi Imai. The Gemara asks another question, that Rav said that one of the Shnius that don't continue indefinitely is Kalosai. But ask the Gemara, the Isser of Kala, of a daughter-in-law, is not a derabbanan, it's not a shnius, it's the raisihi, the ksiv, as the pasuk says, ervas kavoscha loisagala. Answers the Gemara, ema kalas benoi. What he was referring to was not your own daughter-in-law. Certainly, your daughter-in-law is an issa deraisa. We're talking about the daughter-in-law of your son. But ask the Gemara, the kalas benoi yesh loi hefsik. Is that true that the daughter-in-law, that daughter-in-law issa doesn't continue indefinitely? But Tanya, we learned, as we just learned, Kalosai, your actual daughter-in-law, is an erva. Kalas benoi, the daughter-in-law of your son, is a shnia. The Kenat Omer, And it continues, says the Braisa, that all the future generation, the daughter-in-laws, are also. So how did Rav say that this is an erva, this is a shnia, that doesn't continue indefinitely? Ela Eima, when did Rav say that it stops? Bekeles nach bitoy. Your daughter's daughter-in-law is Asur, but it doesn't continue past that generation. Dam Rav Chisda, ha milsa. This halacha that I'm about to teach, Migava Rabbi Shmilei, I heard it from a great individual. Omanu, who was that great individual of Ami? Loi Amru Kala, Ela Mabnei Kala. That when Chazal said you're not allowed to marry one type of daughter-in-law, it's because of a different daughter-in-law. Vamrali Kaldoi. And the stargazers told me, Milafna Havis, you're going to be a big Talmud Chacham, Vamina, and when they made, you're going to be a Talmud Chacham, you're going to be a person that's going to teach. Vamana, and when I heard them make this statement about me, I didn't know what they meant. E Gav Rabba Havina, doesn't mean that I'm going to be a great person, Lazbar Medati, that I could say Divrei Torah, that I will be Mechadish, that I will institute. E Mikri Dardike Avina. Or it means that I'll be a teacher of young students. Ashayla Rabbanan Doslobe Kanashti. And I won't be able to make up any Chidushim myself. I'm going to learn from others. However, Hashtar Azra Medati. Now I can explain what we just learned. Lo Yasu Kals Bitoi El Mishim Kals Benoi. Chazal said that the daughter-in-law of your daughter is Asur only because the daughter-in-law of your son. That means the daughter-in-law of the son, since in that case there's an Issa D'Raisa, because by your daughter-in-law, the woman that your son married, there is an Issa D'Raisa, as we just learned. So that's why it's a much more serious Issa. But by your daughter, there is no case of a daughter-in-law being Asur D'Raisa. And therefore, when they made your daughter's daughter-in-law Asur, it's only because of Kalas Benoi. Amlei Abai L'Rava Azbalach. Going, Kalos the Beit Tzitzai. I'm going to give you an example. Like the daughter-in-law of Bat Tzitzai that had daughter-in-laws from their son. The son had a daughter-in-law, and their daughter-in-law had a daughter-in-law. Rapapa Amar, going, Kalos the Beit Rapapa Bar Abba, that also his son had daughter-in-laws, and his daughter had daughter-in-laws. Vashi Amar, going, Kalos the married by Esik, that also his son and daughter had daughter-in-laws. So I saw that the Rishonim tried to explain what's the point of bringing me those examples. So the Aruch explains that these were people that had large family and that the family were always by them. And since there shouldn't be any confusion between daughter-in-laws from the son's side versus daughter-in-law from the daughter's side, because they were all there at the same time, that's why Chazal made the gzeira that the daughter's daughter-in-law should be usher just like the son's daughter-in-law. Of course, there's a very fundamental question that's discussed here by the Paiskim. Here the Gemara says that Rav Chisda heard from the Kaldoi. He heard from the stargazer. And the question is, how is one allowed to accept? So we don't believe in astrology and we don't believe in stargazers. So how could he have accepted and listened to what they say? So Ritva asked this question, and Ritva says that the Isser is only for one to go over and ask them to question them. It's a violation of Tamim Tia L'Shem L'Kecha. But here, that's not what happened. What happened is they approached him. In a case where they approached him, that isn't a violation. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch discusses this issue. In Yerideya, Simon Kuf Ayin Tes, Sif Aleph, says the Shulchan Aruch, Ein Shayalim, one may not query, B'chayzim K'chavim. The question is, because, how do we learn that? Is it because one is not allowed to accept what they say, as the Rambam says, because everything they say is meaningless? Or the Rambam says it's a violation of Tam Tiyam Shem Alekecha by you going to them. Says the Ramah explicitly that he paskins like the Ramban, that the Isser is because of a violation of Tam Tiyah Meshem Elokecha, and that is only violated if you approach them. But if they approach you, you haven't instituted anything in asking them, and therefore it's not considered a violation of Tam Tiyah Meshem Elokecha, and that's Pshat in our Gemara, when the Gemara says that the Kaldoi said to Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda took seriously what they had to say. Midaraisa, the wife of your uncle, the wife of your father's brother, your father's paternal brother, is also midaraisa. As the pasuk says, "Ervis eishes achi, ervis achi avicha leisagala, elishta leisikrav daidoschehi." And we're going to learn a mitzvah later in our masechta on daf nun dalar amabeis. That's what's being referred to here is your father's paternal brother. Your father's maternal brother's wife is not osam deraisa. But Chazal said that in the certain circumstances, your father's maternal brothers are also osam. Sometimes your uncle's wife are osam. And the question now is, under what circumstances? Begins the Gemara, Ba'iluhu, Eishes achiyo eim, your mother's brother, Mina'im, your mother's maternal brother's wife. What is the halacha? Do we say, Eishes achiyo av Mina'im, that only the wife of your father's maternal brother, Eishes achiyo eim Mina'av, or your mother's paternal brother's wife, Dikat Sad'av, so in all these cases, there's a paternal element to this relationship. And as I said a moment ago, when the Torah, when we speak about the Issa Daraisa, the Issa Daraisa is the wife of your father's paternal brother. So whenever there's a paternal element to the relationship, that's where there's Shnius. Aval Heicha, in a situation, the Leket Sad Av, in the case of your mother's maternal brother's wife, where there's no paternal element to that relationship. Loi gezer v'rabbanan, Chazal did not make it usher. Oidem aloshna, any uncle's wife is usher. Am Rav Safra, to which Rav Safra replies, this that we said that a father's maternal brother's wife, for example, is usher, is a gzera. Why did Chazal make the gzera? Because of your father's paternal brother's wife. Now you want to expand it. Vanan neka v'nig zegzera l'gzera. Amarava, says the Gemara, let's think about the shniyos that we've been learning about in our shir. Ot the kula lav gzera l'gzera. Aren't there many situations that are gzera l'gzera? Imai, the iser with your mother is an erva. Eim imai, your mother's mother is a shniya. Eim v'gazru, and then they expanded and said eim aviv, Mishim Eim Imoy. So that's a Gzera L'Gzera. V'tama Mai. And why did Chazal say that it's Osir? Kul D'Bei Eim Eribas Kerlei. Because anybody who's called a grandmother. So says the Gemara, it's not considered a Gzera L'Gzera. They made one rule. Grandmothers are Osir. Says the Gemara, a different example. Eishes Aviv, the wife of your father, is an Erva. Eishes of the Aviv, the wife of your father's father is a Shniya. The Gazru, and then they said, Eishes Avi Imoy, your mother's father's wife, is also Asur Mishim Eishes Avi Aviv. So isn't that a Gzera L'Gzera? Again, says the Gemara, it's not a Gzera L'Gzera. Because Metamamai, Kula Debe Rabba Rabba Karolei, they're all considered a grandfather's wife. And therefore, even though it's a different type of a grandfather from the mother's side, from the father's side, it's all a grandfather. Another example, the Gemara says, Eishes Achi Aav, the wife of your father's brother. Menav, your father's paternal brother, is Erva. Eishes Achi Aav, the wife of Menaim, your wife of your father's maternal brother, is a Shniya. The Gazra al Eishes Achi Aav, Menav, and then Chazal said that the wife of your mother's brother, your mother's paternal brother, Mishim Eishes Achiav, Menaim, because of that case. V'tamamai, Mishim Devkula Beidaydekorilei, they're all considered ints. So, now that the Gemara says that if anybody falls into the same title, grandmother, uncle, is all usher, so what, so that, and that is not exera, the question we began with comes back. What's going to be the halacha about your uncle's wife, that's your mother's maternal brother, that's your uncle from your mother's side, and is your mother's maternal brother's wife? My Toshma, the Chiyosar of Yehuda Bashayla, Oma, Amri Mareva, Ko Sheba Nakeva, any situation, if it was on the theme, it was an Erva, but Zocha Goza Alishta Mishim Shnia. Anybody who has a relative, that if she were a Nakeva, she were a female, it would be us because of an Erva, then the wife of the male is also Asur. And the Gemara is going to explain what that means. Vamarava. So before the Gemara goes further, ask the Gemara, is that a hard and fast rule? Chamoisoi. Chamoisoi, a mother-in-law, is Asur Midaraisa. Eish is Chamav, but your father-in-law's wife is Muteris. Or Bas Chamoisoi, the daughter of your father-in-law, of your mother-in-law, which is a chois ishtoi, is an erva. But Eishes ben Chamoisoi, the wife of your father's brother, of your mother's brother, Muster. So we see that they don't travel together. Another example, Bas Chamov, the daughter of your father-in-law, is could be an erva, because the daughter of your father-in-law is a chois ishtoi. The Eishes ben Chamov, but the wife of your father-in-law's son, Muteris. So you see that the male and the female don't always travel together. Another example, Chargasai, your wife's daughter, your stepdaughter, is an erva. It's the daughter of your wife. Eishes Chargai, the wife of your son-in-law, is Muteris. Another case, Bas Chargasai, the daughter of your wife's daughter, the daughter of your wife's daughter, stepdaughter, is an erva. Because the halacha is that not only may you not marry your wife's daughter, but you're not allowed to marry your wife's granddaughter. And Eishes ben Chargai, the woman who's married to your wife's son, Muteris, says the Gemara. So after we've mentioned all this, the Gemara goes back to our case. What is going to be the case? What is going to be the halacha? The Eishes Achil Eim and Eim, says the Gemara. The Hadra of Yehuda Bashela, that if his statements meant Lesuyamai, he obviously didn't mean to say a rule that applies in all situations, because we just gave a number of examples where his rule doesn't apply. Lav Lashuyi, it must be that he's coming to teach us that the Eishes Achil Eim and Eim, that he's coming to teach us the Kol Shib in the Keva Erva, but Zachar Gazar Alishta Mishim Shnia. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda Ben Shela came to teach us. But ask the Gemara, but now that we just gave a number of examples where a male and female version of the same situation is not Asur, and now we said by this case it is Asur. So ask the Gemara, Maishnahani, Maishnahani. Answers the Gemara, Ha, when your uncle married, who married your mother's maternal brother, b'chad kedushim karvlei, she became usher to you by your uncle marrying her. Hani, all the other cases that we just learned, ad ikatrei kedushin, there at least were two marriages before this woman became connected to you, and since there were at least two marriages that had to take place before these women got related to you, they're not so close, and that's why they're not usher. Shalach lei Rabbi Shashim betes fitnayo l'rapapi. Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu. Eishes achi avio av. The wife of somebody who's married to your father's uncle. V'achois avio av. The sister of your grandfather. Mahu. Midlamata. Since we just said, when we speak about in generations going down, it's erva. So maybe lamala nami goes, they chazal take it a generation up as well. There are too many generations distancing you from these women, and you shouldn't be usher. Tashma. So says the Gemara, when we learned on Amun Aleph the Brice identified Mayan Shneis, and these women were not included. Clearly indicative that they're not in the group of Shneis. Says the Gemara, that isn't the Raya. Ton of Ishayer. The Brice left out these individuals. Says the Gemara, my Shire, the High Shire, what wasn't excluded? Because whenever we're going to say the Teretz of the Tana, whenever we're going to say Tana Vishayer, there has to be a number of people that were excluded. The Tana wouldn't just exclude one individual. Says the Gemara, we're going to be learning about the Shneis to Rav Chiya. All of those women were excluded. So we see that the Braisa is not all-encompassing of all the women, and therefore we don't necessarily have a raya, what will be the halacha regarding these women?